This is Ricky Pearsall, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Roster Watch Nation, what is up and welcome back to another edition of the Roster Watch Dynasty Show. He is the Trash Man. I am Cody Carpentier here with you as we head into Super Bowl weekend, Super Bowl 60 weekend with the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks. We might mention a couple players from those teams, but mainly we're going to be talking Dynasty, a couple of interesting situations at the wide receiver position, a couple of movers, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about some props that are up at rosterwatch.com in the premium section right now for you. If you head on over there between now and Sunday, you'll be able to pick up on some of those props heading into the weekend, and you can continue to try and cash out. And that's the goal over in the premium section, rosterwatch.com. Trash Man, how you doing, and who's winning the Super Bowl?
I'm doing gravy, which is a combination of great and wavy. The Super Bowl winner, I mean, I think it's got to be Seattle. I think they're the more complete team. I also hate the Patriots, so that factors into it.
You and many others across the country are probably – I'm sort of in the same boat. I'm just like, man, are we really going to – if they win this thing, this could be another decade of just
– I don't think so. I don't think – I think there's too much parity in the NFL for that to happen. I think Drake head and shoulders above the rest of the quarterbacks here. I don't think their running game is particularly – I don't think they have the best running game. They definitely don't have the best receivers. I think, honestly, the Texans – I feel like the Texans, if not for C.J. Stroud, would be in the Super Bowl and would probably win it. But
here's the problem, though. Like, even though we say like they're, you know, the parity's too good, let's look at the last 10 years in the AFC. Ready for this? New England, Kansas City. Bengals beat Kansas City. New England. That's the AFC champions the last 10 years.
Oh, that wasn't in that. Was that in reverse order? Was that like from
from today backwards? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was confused. No, but I mean, that was the Brady era. I mean,
Brady Mahomes though. It's like, and we've had Josh Allen, who's now getting up there. Lamar, his window seems like,
we got to stop making excuses for that guy.
Lamar's window seems like it's closed. Burrow, I still love Burrow, but like,
I don't know if Lamar's window is closed. Maybe they actually get an offensive coordinator who, you know, implements the entire offense.
But that's what I'm saying. And now all of a sudden we got Drake May here year two, all of a sudden just like, we're back. It's like, gosh, it's like, did that whole window, you know, did Kansas City control that whole window and just not let, you know, Josh Allen become a thing or Lamar become a thing? And like, they just never, I mean, Baltimore made the AFC championship once, right? Like, that's it.
Denver's going to be up there. I mean, there's a coin toss there.
I mean, yeah, they hosted. That was the thing, is they hosted. If they would have had Bo Nix, I really wonder what would have happened there. But and you mentioned New England doesn't have quite the firepower, I guess, on offense. But hey, that's where I kind of think it gets interesting this offseason. If they potentially go after a Mike Evans or an AJ Brown or a DJ Moore, like, I think the door's open for them to get even better, which is
the thing is the whole season, nobody was thinking that this is New England season. People think New England could get there, but people thought a lot of teams could get there.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be the same next year.
And they did it with Butte and Diggs and Mac Hollins and DeMario Douglas. And like, that, it's kind of impressive. And I don't love Ramondre Stevenson, but Ramondre Stevenson, even I might have just put a little juice on him to win the MVP this weekend, but I don't really have faith in that. Speaking of good players, bad players, and situations, I want to stay in the Northeast. And there's a situation. I had a conversation about this on another show with Matt Kelly, and it's the New York Jets, and it's Garrett Wilson. And so Breece Hall becomes a free agent this year, and that running back field looks like it's going to end up continuing on without him. He enters free agency. Among the rookie class with the free agent class, it's Breece, it's Ken Walker, kind of as the two top dogs if you combine the two classes, and maybe Jeremiah Love enters that fray. I think he does. But Garrett Wilson stays in New York, and his only competition at the wide receiver position is Adonai Mitchell. And his quarterback right now is Justin Fields. And they're not going to be able to get Fernando Mendoza because he's going to go to the Raiders at one. And the free agent pool at quarterback is not great. It's not good at all. Is Garrett Wilson's dynasty stock set? Are you worried about Garrett Wilson and dynasty? Because I view it weirdly. Like, I think there's a potential, if they aggressively handle this offseason, to where there's a good value in Garrett Wilson right now in dynasty if they make moves. If the move is, hey, we're going to go and we're going to draft Ty Simpson in the top five this year, the kid from Alabama, who is a competent quarterback who can get the football to his alpha and complete passes, something we haven't really seen Justin Fields be able to do consistently. And, you know, maybe not win a ton of games or throw for 350 yards, but Ty Simpson can get the ball to his alpha, which will help us in fantasy and in dynasty. Do they go the route where Darren Mugay, the new GM, he was in Denver for the last 15 years, and they aggressively went after Russell Wilson because they thought they were in the win now window, right? Or Aaron Glenn, who was in Detroit when Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell aggressively went after Jared Goff. Do they aggressively go after somebody, you know, like a Kyler or a Tua or someone that they think can improve this team and they can get it a value in the trade market? Is that something the Jets do? Or they do the thing that is complete malpractice and just roll with Justin Fields going into 2026? I think that this Garrett Wilson stock is in a very interesting spot, and we kind of only have about a month and a half if something is going to happen in, like I said, free agency, the draft, or trade. Like, we only have like a month and a half before something's going to happen with this, if something does happen. Are you worried about Garrett Wilson? Do you think there's value in Garrett Wilson? How do you kind of see it?
I mean, there's always value in Garrett. When has Garrett Wilson had a marquee quarterback? It hasn't happened. And Garrett Wilson has been a marquee receiver regardless. So I'm not worried about Garrett Wilson for that reason. I mean, it doesn't really matter who's under the center for him. He's going to get his. I feel if he goes anywhere, it's going to be up. You know, if they improve the situation at quarterback. I'm not worried about Garrett Wilson. The Jets could do numerous things at the quarterback position, or just, you know, as a team. And I feel like they can all only help Garrett Wilson. So I feel like if there's anywhere for him to go, it's up. I'm not worried about him. He's never had a great quarterback to work with.
And so on consensus right now,
unless you count Aaron Rodgers as a great quarterback, which he is, but he hasn't been the Aaron Rodgers of old.
That's where people will circle. Well, he had Rodgers, and it's like, well, he did. I mean, I still think the alternate universe would have been very different in New York had Rodgers not tearing that ACL or the Achilles that first game against San Fran a couple years ago, but. Right now, Garrett Wilson, we both have right around overall player 31, 32 in Dynasty 1 quarterback formats. I got him around wide receiver 15. Another situation I think has uncertainty is Dallas, who is your team. And a player you've talked about quite a lot, George Pickens, I have at wide receiver 14 right now. The uncertainty here is that George Pickens is a free agent and could get the two things. He can get, well, three things, really. He can get franchise tagged. He can get re-signed in Dallas, you know, 4 years, 120. He could also go to Tennessee. But I don't want to visualize the Tennessee thing right now. What I want to talk about is the Dallas side of it. If he gets a four-year deal, in Dallas, or he gets franchise tagged in Dallas. He's going to be there for the year 2026. George Pickens is going to be 25 years old this year. And he's sitting about on wide receiver 14. Like I said, he's a top 30 asset in Dynasty's consensus. We're actually a little bit behind on him versus consensus to keep trade cut. Lamb, CeeDee Lamb, is 2 years older, and he's looked at right now as a top 10 player in Dynasty. But if you pay if you pay George Pickens 4 years, $120 million, or 3 years, $90 million, you're kind of, you know, you've brought this up before. He's kind of like the Jamar Chase to the situation. He's Jamar Chase to the Higgins. This is the most expensive wide receiver duo in the league right now if Pickens returns to Dallas. It's the most expensive. It's the highest end. It's the top-ranked combination. Like, it used to be Kupp and Puka. It used to be Higgins and Chase, right? It's now Pickens and Lamb. And the way that these guys are priced, Lamb is, of course, the alpha of the situation. But if he gets a big deal or if he returns to Dallas, do you think we'll see a shift in this value where maybe Pickens doesn't jump up into the top seven or eight at the position, but Lamb maybe falls down closer to kind of like the Chris Olave conversation? Because the way I see that, and why I say Chris Olave, is because Chris Olave is in a good situation right now. He's getting the most targets. Tyler Shook's attached to him. You know, he's going to probably have a new quarterback in 2027 if Shook doesn't end up being the answer, because that next quarterback class is supposed to be sick. And there's a lot of projection right now around New Orleans adding a receiver for obvious reasons. And if it's Carnell Tate or it's a Denzel Boston or one of these big alphas, all of a sudden Chris Olave becomes the clear two, which is a good role for him. But you can tie that line directly to Lamb being a possession type receiver. Yes, he's dynamic, but he's a possession inside type receiver. If you have George Pickens as your alpha on the outside, I think there's a potential shift here that we could see if, like I said, if Jerry Jones ponies up 3 years, 90, or 4 years, 120 for a George Pickens, and he's 2 years inferior, he's bigger, he's faster, he's stronger, a little bit more dynamic than what CeeDee Lamb is. I think it's a very uncertain situation that people really aren't prepared for.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by Chev.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
But I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't think it's going to affect him that much. I mean, we talked about Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. I mean, Jamar Chase, we still have as arguably the number one receiver in fantasy football, even with T. Higgins there. And T. Higgins being, you know, I mean, he's not chopped liver. Pickens is arguably better than Higgins. I mean, what we have here is a touchdown upside of Pickens. I've conflated Pickens and Higgins, and now they're just Pickens. Pickens has the touchdown upside that perhaps CeeDee Lamb does not. The big play upside that CeeDee Lamb has, big play upside, but he's got to do more of the work. Pickens, you can just throw it up there for him. I think Pickens, his value increases. I think he gets higher in the rankings. I think CeeDee Lamb probably stays about where he is. I don't really think. I mean,
He's completely been his target share has been completely neutered though the last 2 years. Like he went from 180 in 2023 down to 150. And I played two.
He also hasn't been completely healthy. He also hasn't been healthy. But
that's part of the conversation, right? His fantasy points has dropped down to 14 points per game even. And Pickens was up to 17 this last year. It's like when you just strictly look at age and hitting the age apex at the position, and Lamb is entering age 27, so he's not quite there yet. He's right on the precipice of the age apex, and Pickens is going into his prime and finally found the situation that made all the sense, and he finished as wide receiver 5 in fantasy last year. It's like I do think that like if the season starts out the same way, people are going to start, I don't want to say like off shipping or off selling their Lamb, but it's going to be a polar switch here. And it's, again, it's not that vast of a situation because it's,
I mean, literally like, I mean, even if there is a polar switch, it's still okay. I mean, you're still going to have to draft Lamb pretty high to get him.
But that's what I'm saying is should you be drafting Lamb that high in seasonal perspectives? Should you be drafting Lamb in that situation? Like if you're doing a dynasty startup for the next month, should you be taking Lamb in the first round, if you see Pickens potentially being the alpha of the situation for the next 2 years, all of a sudden you have a guy that's Lamb who's, you know, should be valued closer to Chris Olave.
Well, if Pickens is valued considerably lower, you know, if you feel like you can get Pickens in the second round, you know, but if it's getting to the point where like they're pretty much valued around the same area, and I don't want to be the guy who sleeps on CeeDee Lamb and, you know, him have a banner year this year. Just, I don't want to be that guy. I feel like the hit you might take getting Lamb higher, I don't think it's going to matter that much if he stays healthy.
I get that. I think that's the right path. I do think these guys should be a little bit closer overall because I do think that, especially if he goes back. If now again, the part that's uncertainty is George Pickens could go to Tennessee in a month and get paid $120 million to go be Tennessee's alpha, and then it doesn't matter because Lamb's going to be fine. He's going to get 180 targets, and you know Jalen Tolbert's not going to push him for it, or Florida's not going to push him for it. Like he's going to be fine. And they're probably not going to find someone that meshes with him as well as Pickens did last year. But it's just more so like Pickens could be the one that, you know, two of the three options are he goes back to Dallas. He gets franchise tagged, he gets re-signed, or he departs. I think that's where the interesting thing comes in because we could be all just talking about something that doesn't matter in totality if Pickens
goes. I think he's more likely to get franchised or leave. I don't think Jerry's going to pay anybody another receiver.
But that offense was pretty potent last year. And if they think, I don't know, you know, it's a little senile. We never know what could happen up there.
Yeah.
Let's go to Houston across Texas. Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noll. Interesting, but solid year for Jaden Higgins. Not as great for Jalen Noll. They sort of, you know, they had opportunities with Nico Collins going down for a couple of weeks, being injured. Houston loves Xavier Hutchinson. He's not the answer, but they love him, so they play him. They trade for Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk plays this last year. Stroud is obviously not quite great. Hopefully he bounces back. But you're going into 2027 with these two now sophomores from Iowa State that are projecting to be, again, Jalen Noll should project to be the starting slot. Jaden Higgins should be projected to be the starting Z opposite of Nico Collins. And if something were to happen to Nico, Jaden Higgins could theoretically step into that role and be the guy. But we're 14 months removed from a Tank Dell ACL, MCL, meniscus, complete knee blow apart. And just this week, Trash Man, Tank Dell came out and was interviewed. I think it's on Radio Row. I think it was a couple days ago, Radio Row, or maybe it was just in Houston. But he said, I'm back and I'm ready. And by the time fall camp comes around, that will be 19 months removed. So it's not 1 year removed from a knee reconstruction, right? It's almost 2 years removed from a knee reconstruction. He said, I'm back, I'm ready. And what we do know from listening to everything that comes out of Houston is that it's not Nico Collins who's the alpha in that wide receiver room and who, you know, is the top dog or the main conversationist in that room. Tank Dell is the one that leads that room. Tank Dell's been the one that, you know, when they say, hey, we're going to go do this, everyone follows Tank Dell. Now, and that's not trying to take anything away from Nico. That's just saying where the leadership is in that room. And CJ Stroud, remember, was the one that pointed at Tank and said, we need to go draft Tank Dell. And he's going to be back. And I am now seeing guys like Higgins get into the top 100 in Dynasty. And Noel can be seen as a value right now playing the slot, right? Tank Dell was a 27% slot guy a couple years ago. So he's going to play a little bit of both of these guys' roles. And I just, for me, the uncertainty is, do I care? Do I still take my value in Jalen Noel long term? Do I potentially overpay for Jaden Higgins now? Or do I just stay hands off because I see this Tank Dell thing coming down the track and we still have Nico Collins, who is Nico Collins?
I mean, the thing is, I mean, Tank Dell, God bless him. He's still the pipsqueakiest receiver in the NFL, potentially. I mean, and I love Tank Dell. You know how much I love Tank Dell. So he's still an injury risk. And, you know, if he makes – has he made it a full season in his NFL career? Have we ever seen that? We've never seen that. You know, that's something to consider, definitely, that he's been injury plagued throughout his NFL career. So Jalen Noel, I mean, I'm kind of out on at the moment. I think the Texans have other receivers of that ilk, you know, who are also kind of up and down. Anything could happen. I think, if they were on other offenses, whatever, you know, we could see some more consistency out of a lot of those guys, actually. But Noel, I'm kind of out on right now. Higgins, I think he's somebody who I'm going to hold on to, but I don't think anybody's going to be champion at the big to pick up Higgins in Dynasty. I don't think he's going to be a player that's going to be envied or coveted. So not that much is changing. I'm more excited about, you know, getting Tank Dell where I can get him while he is healthy. You know, 2 years removed, basically, people are going to be sleeping on Tank Dell. And I think he's somebody we're going to be able to get value on.
The trades are very interesting with Jaden Higgins included. Recently, he was traded for a 2027 second-round pick. I think I would – I mean, the 2027 class is going to be sick. I think I would take the 2027 side of that. Jaden Higgins in the 112 in this year's draft for Bucky Irving. Probably on the Bucky Irving side of that.
Yeah.
But there's another one on here that's Woody Marks in the 206 for Jaden Higgins. I think I would lean Jaden Higgins in that one.
I don't know.
Would you lean Woody?
Probably. I mean, Higgins, the thing is, I like him, but I mean, are you going to be playing Higgins?
No, that's the problem. Unless there's an injury.
I mean, what Marks is a better chance you're going to be playing him.
But here's the deal with that is the Woody side is like, he's not going to be, you know, Mixon seems like he's probably the ship has sailed in Houston with injuries and that whole situation. But Woody's not going to be like the guy.
How do we know? Chase Brown wasn't supposed to be the guy.
That's fair. But they've been trying to, remember, they've been trying to kind of, they tried with Samaje Perine. They've been trying to put a big dude behind Chase Brown.
I wouldn't try to get into it. Chase Brown is still being Chase Brown. I mean, Woody Marks has shown, you know, he's got some pop as a smaller back. I don't know that I'm betting against him.
All right, last one. Are you worried about Jalen Waddle in Miami now that Mike McDaniel's gone? Are you worried about Jalen Waddle now that Mike McDaniel's gone in Miami?
I mean, I was worried about him when he was there.
So you should feel better now.
I
mean, Tua, I don't know if Tua was going to be, I assumed Tua was going to be there.
That's a big question. Tua is the liability there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think McDaniel had that much. The onus wasn't on him to get the ball to Jalen Waddle. That's on his quarterback, who wasn't really able to matriculate the ball downfield to anybody with good consistency other than Tyreek Hill. So that's the situation when I look at McDaniel. I don't know that mattered as much. I mean, Waddle, he's an excellent receiver, and we've seen when given the opportunity, he can compete, he can produce. So, I'm not worried about Waddle in that sense. I was worried about him already. So, and I think we're already getting, I mean, his value's already been degraded in Dynasty and otherwise as far as fantasy goes. So I think it's another situation where he doesn't have much room. I mean, he can only really go up, in my opinion.
All right, there it is. Go get your Dynasty Top 250 over at rosterwatch.com with a pro or a premium membership. You can also get all of our favorite props heading into Super Bowl 60 with a premium membership over at rosterwatch.com. He's the Trash Man. I'm Cody Carpentier. We'll be back next week with more from Roster Watch.